Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
We wanted to talk about what is going on in Russia. I was very concerned and quite moved to see some of the terrible images of people trying to get out of Russia, because it's somehow we have history as Jews of people being conscripted into the Russian army against their will, trying to do whatever they can to avoid it. Now 300,000 troops in Russia to be added to the Ukrainian situation. Stephen Gruz is head of the African Governance and Diplomacy Program at Russia Project at South African Institute for International Affairs. Good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you, Howard. I'm fine. Thank you.
Good. Give us an update. What before we get into some of the nuance around it, what is the latest situation coming out of Russia?
So yesterday morning, President Putin made an announcement to say that reserves are going to be called up to the front. Later, some of his ministers said that that number would be about 300,000. He made an ominous threat to say, we have all sorts of weapons and we're not going to be afraid to use them, and this is not a bluff. I think this is all in reaction to the counteroffensive by the Ukrainians armed with Western weapons, which have taken great swaths of territory back that the Russians had originally captured, particularly in the northeast of the country. And so on the battlefield, Russia is losing this war at the moment, and this is a reaction by President Putin to shore up his forces and to throw more men at the problem.
So we are definitely seeing reaction. That's often a sign of weakness. But that doesn't mean that he's less dangerous. It might even make him more dangerous.
Yes, it is the feeling that he's been painted into a corner. He brought this war upon himself and upon his people, and it hasn't gone as he expected. You know, we were expecting a blitzkrieg in the first 3 or 4 days where the regime in Kiev would fall and Russians would take over the whole country. That didn't happen. Then they've been more modestly concentrating on the Donbass region and the region near Crimea. And then they are being pushed back even in those areas. So, yeah, it's a little bit like a cornered tiger that's bringing in more troops and is making more ominous threats about nuclear weapons, which really has to concern us a lot.
Is that real, or is that just scare tactics? I mean, is there a chance that this guy would actually use nuclear weapons?
I mean, nobody knows. And, of course, there's been a taboo on using nuclear weapons since the only two that have been used in battle were used at the end of the Second World War in Japan by the U.S. There's been this taboo that nobody wants to use them because it's going to cause such destruction and cause escalation amongst one's enemies. But, I mean, you know, we've even seen the instability of power stations like Chernobyl and Zaporizhia, where these very power stations could be weaponized. I mean, if you blow up one of these nuclear power stations or severely damage it, it could have the same effect or worse of a nuclear bomb. So I think, whereas this was unthinkable 5 years ago, people are starting to consider the possibility very seriously, and that would mean a massive escalation in this war beyond the borders of Ukraine.
Let's just talk about the conscription issue, because as Jews, we've got a history of this. We've got a history of, and a very painful history where that has had generations of repercussions about kids, youngsters, young guys being forced into to become part of the Russian army. And we're seeing this again now.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there were many Jews conscripted into the army of the Tsars, which was the regime that existed for hundreds of years before the Russian Revolution. We all have stories of our grandfathers or our great uncles maybe changing their names or buying somebody else's identity or trying to get out to America or South Africa just to avoid the years and years of conscription. And we've seen a similar pattern now, obviously in a modern setting, where young men are very afraid of being in Putin's war and very afraid of going to the front. So, yes, we've seen overcrowding at airports and people trying to get out. I think this brings home the seriousness of this particular conflict.
And the fact that they've now closing borders, that there's an article that I saw this morning, and I haven't verified if this is if this is factual or not. It comes from a website called airlove.net. It says, breaking news, Russian airlines are ordered to stop selling tickets to Russian men between the ages of 18 and 65. It could well be true, because the borders aren't open in terms of young guys or men of fighting age leaving. I mean, this is an absolute horror.
It's absolutely. I mean, but it mirrors what we've seen in Ukraine, where they have said that those that are leaving the country can be women and children, but that men of fighting age between 18 and 65 have to stay in the country. And I mean, if you look at the Aliyah to Israel, it's one of the strangest ever, because it's women and children. And old men and men of fighting age were just simply not allowed to leave the country. So you've had this massive breakup of the family unit in Ukraine. And ironically, we're seeing possibly a mirror image of this. And I think a point to make is that a lot of the soldiers in the Russian army were from poor rural areas who didn't have any other options. Now you're going to get university graduates and professionals who are going to be placed into the army, and they don't want to do that. So they're trying to avoid that in any way. And we've also seen some protests across Russia about this conscription.
Well, that was the question I wanted to ask you, is what about the pushback from within Russia? We are seeing, I don't want to use the word unprecedented because I hate the word, but we are seeing for the first time quite a lot of courage as people are standing up to the war from within Russia itself.
Yes, it is one of the first signs of that, and maybe because it's starting to hit middle class and rich families. But, you know, Russia is a ruthless state that will absolutely suppress and arrest and intimidate and incarcerate its opponents. And it's been doing this. You know, you look around the protests around Alexei Navalny, other opposition figures that have emerged, and not only in the last 20 years of Vladimir Putin, but in the Stalinist era, in the Tsarist era. I mean, Gorbachev was one of the few that permitted these sorts of protests, and look what happened to the Soviet system.
Right.
So yes, you've seen very brave citizens in Russia, but I'm afraid they're going to be met with an iron fist.
In terms of the energy crisis as well being created in Europe, is this by design to have a greater impact on the whole of Europe because of their reaction?
For me, I think Putin is really banking on a cold winter to divide Europe. You know, when Europe starts not being able to heat its homes and suffering from the cold, he's hoping that this united front against him will fracture, and that there will be perhaps an opportunity to get out of this war. But the energy politics, I think, are very real. He has a bit of a lifeline in that China and India are buying cheap Russian oil. But, you know, also we going back to history, we know that both Napoleon and Hitler made huge advances into Russia until they met the Russian winter. And in both of those wars, that was what ultimately defeated them. I don't know if if Putin is a student of history, but perhaps a similar tactic is being employed. Yeah, if you can hang on long enough, the cold winter will send
and it's
Europe,
so interesting.
Back
and,
to where they came from.
And I think it's going to be the opposite way around. I think it'll make them, I think it'll give them more resolve to sort this out and to not allow Russia to continue. But it'll be interesting to see. Hitler made the same mistake with regard to London, that he thought that after the Blitz or during the Blitz, that the people of the city would turn against the British government and force them to capitulate. And in fact, it just gave them further resolve. So it'll be interesting to see, when you talk about student of history, it'll be interesting to see what actually happens during the winter. I think it's going to be exactly the opposite way around. But unfortunately, it will be a story that you and I are going to be talking about for the next couple of months, because I don't believe it's going to be going away so quickly. Stephen Grust, head of African Governance and Diplomacy Program and the Russian African Project at the South African Institute of International Affairs.